RadioInfluence.com.
When you are looking for the best box coverage, why not go to someone who's actually been on the field?
B-U-C-C-A-N-E-E-R-S. Go Bucks!
This is the only podcast for the Buccaneers by a Buccaneer. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches, where this is my podcast, one of two podcasts. I have Flavor in Your Ear that usually comes out on Fridays, and I also have In the Trenches that will be coming out every Monday or the day after the Buccaneers play, but it'll be Monday for the first little while. Football season's right around the corner. The Buccaneers have their first preseason game August 11th against the Bengals. So they're raring to go. They're out there, and I've actually been out there watching practice a couple times already. I'm shocked and amazed at how they treat the modern day football player. God bless them. Not so blessed were we way back in the day. Let me give you a difference between the way these athletes are treated now and the way we were treated back in the day. I was talking to Damar Dotson. He was sitting right in my dignitary headquarters here last week, and I was comparing the two, and he says, I don't think it's that big of a difference. Well, let me explain you what the difference was. They started off camp Friday. They had practice Friday with no pads. They had practice Saturday with no pads. They had practice Sunday with no pads. Today is Monday. They're going to be practicing this morning if they practice, because it's a monsoon out there. They will have pads on, okay? That's their big padded practice. Then Tuesday they have off. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, no pads. That's 4 days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, no pads. Monday, pads. Tuesday, off completely. Let me tell you the difference between what that is and what we did back in the day. My rookie season, we had Ray Perkins as our coach, a name that we all were trying to forget. Didn't have a whole lot of success, and we can say he was a quote-unquote tyrant. We got into camp on Monday. Monday through Friday, we had 3-a-days every day, all day, okay? Not padded every time. So every morning, we had a padded practice, 1-on-1 pass rush, 9-on-7, goal line. Get back, sponge off, go have a nap, come back in the evening or in the afternoon in Tampa, Florida, and we had another padded practice, and we did that Monday through Friday. As far as these guys go, that first week is really the amount of hitting they get throughout their whole camp, okay? So is this a better way of doing it? I'm not sure, because it was idiotic the way we did it, because they don't do 3-a-days anymore. That's crazy. They don't do 2-a-days anymore either, and that makes a whole lot of sense. But these modern-day athletes, and not so much modern-day athletes, I'm just talking about football, they're taking care of them, but I'm not quite sure that they are, because, you know, August 11th is coming around the corner real, real quick, and by the time August 11th comes around, I bet these guys would have had 4 padded practices, maybe 5, and then you're going to go out there and go full speed. I'm not sure these guys are ready. Nothing's going to change, because that's just the modern way of doing things, but I'd like to see statistically, because it sure seems like there's a lot more injuries now than there was way back when. A lot more. And also, they're acknowledging a lot more things these days. But it's, I guess, with the new CBA and the amount of money that these athletes are making, there's no way that their agents are going to allow you to take them out there and beat the crap out of them. And they used to literally take us out there and beat the crap out of us, and there wasn't a whole lot of belly aching. So these guys have it good, okay? Been out there watching. I enjoy watching practice a little bit. I like going out there and being around the people, okay? But once I get there, I'll say to myself, I don't know why I'm here. Because you really can't see a whole lot from the vantage point that we're at. And it's, even if you're in the stands and you're watching the offense against the defense, it's hard to gauge where you are as a football team, because this is the unfortunate part, or, you know, just the literal part of it. If your offense is balling out, your defense sucks, okay? And vice versa. So if our defense gets three interceptions in a practice, that's great, right? Awesome. Only one problem, your offense threw three interceptions. So it's really hard to gauge yourself as a football team when you're only going against yourself. You know, when we were here, you know, our defense was more of a finesse, quick type defense, and that was really Monty Kiffin's MO. You know, we had guys like Warren Sapp and, you know, Brad Culpepper, kind of, I wouldn't say finesse, but speed type guys. So all training camp, you know, we're going against our guys, we're going against speed guys, so you're kind of acclimating to that situation. So you're thinking, okay, I got this. And then a week later, we go and scrimmage Jacksonville. We head up to Jacksonville, and we're scrimmaging those guys, and those guys are big road grader type dudes, and those guys were just bull rushing all day long. Rod Marinelli, who was a defensive line coach for the Buccaneers, he always said, I don't want bull rushing in one-on-one pass rush because it's not really helping you out, okay? Because anybody can bull rush. Anybody can do it. We're trying to teach moves. So we were here in Tampa. We're going against these guys making moves, and we're working on our feet. All of a sudden, we go to Jacksonville, and they got all these big old road grader behemoths over there just bull rushing us into the bags. It looks good, and it sounds good, and those guys are celebrating, but you can't do that all game long. You'll wear yourself out. And when you're watching some of these drills in training camp or in any football practice at all, when you have an offensive lineman going against a defensive lineman and the quarterback being the bag, being 5 yards away, when there's no other factors involved, there's no factors. A defensive lineman can go inside, outside, through you. He doesn't have to worry about a tackle coming down. He doesn't have to worry about the center sliding on him. If a defensive lineman can't beat an offensive lineman in that drill, you suck, okay? That's the most one-sided drill known to men. And you go out there, and the defensive linemen pound their chests, and they feel great, and nobody can block them in practice. And then the regular season happens, and they end up with three sacks at the end of the year. So that's one of those drills that, as an offensive lineman, I hated, okay? If you watch the defensive backs against the wide receivers, a defensive back can't cover a wide receiver in the open field by himself. It doesn't work that way. You gotta influence them one way or the other. If you watch a defensive back set up on normal defenses, you'll see he'll either line up head up, he'll line up inside, or he'll line up outside. That means he's trying to get the receiver to go one way or the other. If there's nobody helping him either way, that's almost an impossible drill to stop somebody from going inside and outside. It's impossible. If you're a receiver, you're on a 5 yard out. If that DB jumps on that out, what if the quarterback pumps the ball and he goes up the field? So it's just not really a realistic situation. You know, watching the Bucs practice, you know, we just had a different, it was just different back in the day. First of all, we had one Buc place, which is now Tampa International Airport and the mall over there. It's not, our complex isn't what they have now. And I'm sitting there watching it, beautiful fields. They have three football fields on top of each other and stands, and now they're building a practice facility. And this is the first time I saw the shell of the practice facility. And I don't get impressed very often. That ain't what I expected, because when I was in Philadelphia, they had a practice facility because it's cold there. They had an outdoor practice facility that was domed, and it was a 50-yard field. There's nothing really around it. This monstrosity that they're building over there at One Buc Place, you can put a full football field in there. There's going to be stands. The roof is going to be 90 feet high, so you can punt footballs in there, and it is gorgeous. I mean, they're just starting it now. I sat and talked to Brian Ford, the president for the Buccaneers, talked to him a little bit, told him how impressed I was with the facility and how it's turning out. And he was like, listen, the Glazers take a long time to get some things done sometimes, but when they do it, they want to do it first class. And that is a first class facility, because I've seen a lot of different complexes, and I've never seen a practice facility look anything like that. And in this day and age, with this climate we have here, you, first of all, you're never going to see the Buccaneers go inside a practice facility because it's hot. It's not going to happen. Because listen to Dirk Koetter and his interviews, he's praying for heat. That's what you want. You want your football players uncomfortable. You want your football players tired and making bad decisions because they're tired. That's how you learn. So I heard Dirk Koetter early in this preseason asking for more heat. And for God's sakes, it is hot outside. I was outside DJing, believe it or not, on Saturday for Street Lace outside while everybody's walking in the entrance. I was DJing, and that was some of the hardest work I've done in a long time, with sweating profusely, sweating on my computer. It was a mess, okay? But so those guys out there running around, if you just walk to your car 50 feet, it seems like it's quite the chore these days. So I don't know much about global warming, but it just seems like we're only no further than 2 miles from the sun. And I couldn't imagine being out there with the football equipment on right now. But then again, those guys are making a whole lot of stinking money, that's for sure. Now, watching practice, there's certain things you can get out of practice. And, you know, practice is just a rah-rah show for the fans, okay? It's hard to get anything out of it. When a running back breaks through and you're not allowed to tackle a running back and he breaks out for 25 yards, they'll be like, whoa, they look great. It's hard to gauge it, okay? There's certain things happening in camp that I definitely want to talk about. Doug Martin is a guy that was suspended, as it was going to be suspended at the beginning of this year, and Dirk Koetter came out, and I'm happy he said it. Dirk Koetter came out and said, yo, when you come back, your job probably ain't going to be here. And, you know, everybody was up in arms. Listen to me, okay? First of all, running backs overrated, okay? They're a dime a dozen. And Doug Martin is a below-average running back, okay? I'm sure he's a nice guy. I never met him. But Doug Martin is a below-average running back. Why do I say that? This is why I say that. First of all, he's been in the league for six years, maybe, something like that. You take 3 games out of his rookie season, he almost sucks, all right? He's not durable. He's not a good blocker. He's not a good pass catcher. I don't remember Doug Martin ever catching the ball down the field. Never. Never. Okay? He'll catch a screen or two, but that's it. He's not a great blocker, and he's a below-average runner. Last year when they brought Jaquez Wodgers in and whoever they brought off the bench, they were better than Doug Martin. And you may say, well, you're being mean and it's being a little bit too much, but I looked up Doug Martin's statistics. Doug Martin averaged 2.9 yards a carry last year, which is awful. Stop giving him the ball. Now, he was hurt a little bit. He only played 8 games. He had 144 carries last year. 144 carries. Do you know what Doug Martin's long run was last year? With 144 carries. Doug Martin's long run was 17 yards. If you give a great running back or a good running back the ball 144 times, you got to take it to the house sometime. You got to get a 50, 60-yard run every once in a while. You're not going to give it to Adrian Peterson that many times and think he's not going to break one out of there. So I'm not sure what exactly we're looking for with Doug Martin. And I'm happy that Dirk Koetter came out and said, yo, we're not giving you anything. Your name's Doug Martin, which doesn't really mean anything anymore, and you got to earn everything you have out there. And there's going to be a lot of players out there that are going to have to earn what they got. And I love that about Dirk Koetter. He's not giving anybody anything. Another guy that's in a battle is Roberto Aguayo, who last year, we could say sucked. That's okay. You're allowed to say that. He's a rookie. That's an excuse, but that's not an excuse anymore. And I got some news for you. If you go 22 for 31 again, you'll be cut. That's for sure. They brought in a kid, Folk, who a couple years ago was 27 for 31, so he can kick. Aguayo last year was a first-round pick. This year, the allegiance is gone. Okay, you know, they're obviously going to want to keep the kid around because that was a chance to take picking him that damn high. And I think Jason Light knew that. And he was praying to God it was the right pick. And at this moment, it was 158% wrong right now. At this moment, you can't go that high to bring a kicker who's a liability. And that's what he was last year. We didn't want to see him out there at all. But you know what? I think it was the point where he didn't want to go out there at all. Because you're a young kid and you can't figure things out. And there's no hiding as a kicker. It's you and the world and the football, and that's it. So last year he failed, okay? He's a kid that had all the potential in the world. People were loving him in college, and you know, he was a great college football player. Don't pick him that high. That doesn't make any – I don't know if he wouldn't have been there two rounds later. So that's one name that we're obviously going to have an eye on. And I hope it works out for the kid, okay? I really do, because I know he went through a tough time last year. You know, if you're the right guard and you're struggling as a rookie, and I played 16 games, but there was times where I struggled as a rookie. There's no doubt about it. You ask Vinny Testaverde. I'm sure I gave up umpteen sacks my rookie year as I was learning, as I was going through it. But if you're a kicker and, you know, you got these 300-pound men battling all game long and you go in at the end of the game and you miss a kick, that ain't the same as being the right guard. So there's a whole lot of pressure on this young kid, and we'll see if he succumbs to the pressure, okay? Because none of that stuff is easy. Now, there's a couple of names this year that I need to rise, okay? Donovan Smith, the left tackle, he's one of those funky anomalies to me where sometimes I see the kid, I'm like, man, this kid can play. And other times he looks like he's just started the game. So I don't know if it's a mental thing or what, but it's time for Donovan Smith to take it to the next level. If Jameis Winston's going to flourish this year, you got to have your blind side covered, obviously. And that's a big money position there. If Donovan Smith, if you can prove to the world that you can play, you're going to make a whole lot of money out there. But right now, it's still kind of up in the air. I'm still kind of salty by the Buccaneers getting rid of Donald Penn, who's still playing good football in Oakland. So Donovan Smith has definitely something to prove this year, as does the whole offensive line, because, you know, we can talk about quarterbacks all day long. We could talk about DeSean Jackson all day long and Mike Evans, but the offensive line doesn't play well. All the rest of it is irrelevant. DeSean Jackson's not catching 70-yard bombs without the offensive line holding up, you know, their end of the bat. You know, there's so much going on out there. Everything's all about quarterbacks and receivers and, boy, you find me a good offensive team, or find me a good football team without a great offensive line. You know, the Dallas Cowboys all those years were drafting offensive linemen first, and everybody thought Jerry Jones was crazy. Last year, Jerry Jones put a rookie running back and a rookie quarterback behind a great offensive line, and they flourished their asses off. A great offensive line does a whole lot. Ali Marpet moving to center. I hope they know what they're doing, because I really like the kid at guard. And the fact that they're moving him to center, let's hope that means he has potential to be a Pro Bowler at that position, because I really thought Ali Marpet had, you know, potential to be a Pro Bowler at guard eventually. So being at One Buck Place, talking to people about the facility, which is beautiful now, the new practice field, the new practice dome that's coming out, and the one thing is, the buzz is as loud as I've heard it in since I remember. Okay, like, listen, the Bucks have been, it's been a roller coaster, mostly down lately. You know, we have to go all the way back to 2002 Super Bowl year for any kind of success. Even a year after that was, you know, abysmal. There's a buzz out there, no doubt. I mean, the stands are packed with people. Jameis Winston jerseys all over the place. Starting to see Quan Alexander jerseys. And there was times where you would look out in the Buccaneers, you know, stands, and you would still be seeing Mike Allstar jerseys, and you're still seeing Rondé Barber jerseys. Now you're starting to see jerseys of the players that are playing now. And I love Quan Alexander, okay? That's a name I hope that we're going to be hearing for the next 5, 6, 8 years, okay? The kid can play football. Now he just got to stay healthy. We'll be all right. I mean, we haven't seen a Quan Alexander since Hardy Nickerson. That's not dogging out Shelton Quarles. He just was a different type of football player. Quan Alexander is a guy that's gonna come downhill and smash helmets. And you need that on your defense. You need that as your defense as a leader. And I had this long conversation with a lot of people the other day at One Buck Place as we're watching practice. Like, the leader of your defense has to be a bad son of a bitch, okay? And that's it. I've never heard Quan Alexander, I've never heard him speak. Quan Alexander, if he spoke, I wouldn't know what he sounds like. That's not leadership. Leadership is when that film goes on, Quan Alexander's coming flat downhill and smashing faces in. So Quan Alexander is my guy. If I got a Buccaneer jersey, it'd be a Quan Alexander jersey, okay? There's another name that I keep on bringing up, and people look at me crazy. Keith Tandy's a football player that I love as a football player. He has to do some big things this year, and he has to stay healthy as well. Chris Conte is a name that I've been hearing Dirk Cutter bring up. Chris Conte's a great athlete. I don't know about all that, because when I watch film, old boy's out of place a lot, and he struggled last year. And when Keith Tandy got in there at the end of the year, the defense looked substantially better. Now, this defense, you know, last year played, we had an average to below average defense last year, okay? We'll give it average to be nice. Defense was 29th in takeaways last year, okay? And supposedly been getting turnovers early in this camp, but once again, we're early in football camp, and we all know that it takes a lot longer to develop an offense than it does a defense. Defense are a bunch of boneheads that put their hands on the ground and go after the ball. That's easy, okay? Offense, everything's got to be in sync. And it takes a long time for that to happen. Like DeSean Jackson and Jameis Winston, it's going to take a while before he realizes his speed and understands all that kind of stuff. You know, O.J. Howard, I mean, they've done some work together, but now the bullets are really flying and everything's going full speed and it's not quite what it was, okay? So everything's going to change. It's not college anymore. I'm hearing some good things about O.J. Howard as a physical player. I heard he's quite the specimen. I heard he's an unbelievable athlete, a lot faster than he looks, and he looks the part. So we're hoping this rookie can jump in there and do some wonderful things, because I think the Buccaneers are at a point where, you know, they have football players, and they're at a point where they're going to cut some good football players. And it's been a while since the Buccaneers have been that stacked talent-wise, but they're going to have a couple receivers out there that I think may get cut that are good football players other people may pick up, and the Buccaneers haven't been there in a long time. I was reading, I heard Vincent Jackson said he's not going to retire yet. Vincent is 33. I have the utmost respect for Vincent Jackson as a football player, but if he does come back, it won't be here. I mean, that wouldn't make any sense, because Vincent's a leader. He's been here before. You know, you don't want to put him in that situation where he's in the locker room with a lot of these young guys that he's groomed, and he's a lesser player and maybe playing behind them. So that, to me, doesn't make sense to get Vincent Jackson back here with the Buccaneers. But I hope Vincent Jackson ends up on some football team. If I was him, I would wait till after training camp to save the old wheels, because that's a long season when you're 33 years old. Now, I mean, a couple other things happened. Jaquez Smith is on the PUP list. From when I played back in the day, the PUP list means you're going to be out the first 6 weeks of the season. He had a knee surgery in the offseason, and obviously it's not back to 100%. He'll be out the first 6 weeks of the season, and then hopefully in week seven he'll be able to come back and help his football team, because we're definitely going to need all the pass rush we can get. I was on the PUP list 1 year. I think that was Sam Weich's first year. Had a knee surgery in the offseason, didn't heal up like I wanted to. Then I had to have another surgery in July, and I missed the first 6 weeks of the season. So I was basically on crutches all of July and August, and finally got off the crutches and really didn't do anything until week six. And went out there and practiced in week seven, and they suited me up for the game. And I was gassed. Like, I would take five plays in practice and be gassed. I didn't do anything. The whole lot couldn't do anything on my knee. We went to Chicago. Charles McCray was playing instead of me. The great Charles McCray. That's facetious. So he was playing instead of me and getting his ass whooped in Chicago. My coach looked at me and says, "Can you play?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" So I run out there. And the first drive, we go down the field, we score a touchdown. So I come off the field celebrating. I'm all hyped up. I haven't played in 6 weeks. But I'm also gassed, okay? It's impossible to simulate football. It's absolutely impossible. So as much as you ride the bike or as much as you run and do this and that, playing football is different. Like today is the first day of hitting for the Buccaneers. The first day on 9-on-7, after four plays, all the offensive linemen are going to be gassed out there. So when I went out there and drove down in the first drive, scored a touchdown, and my coach said to me, "Can you still go?" And I was like, you know, like a Newt Rockne speech. "I can go, coach." We go down the field. The next time we score another touchdown. So now I'm amped. I said, "I'm not coming out, coach." Then the next drive, about four plays in, I looked at Tony Mayberry, who was beside me, and I go, don't be alarmed. Next play, I'm going down because I'm exhausted. My legs, I couldn't go. And I can fight through some things now. I looked down at my legs to see if they were still there because I couldn't feel them. And the next call was a screen play. So they call a screen play. I run out there in the middle of space, and I just fall. I didn't do it on purpose. My legs just said, stop running. And I fall down on the ground, and my trainer runs out. And he goes, you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm just really, really tired. I can't do this anymore. And he starts to laugh. I mean, they say it ain't an easy thing out there, people. It sounds easy. But when you get the adrenaline going and all those kind of things like that, it ain't easy to push through some of those things. So to make a long story short, we ended up winning that game. I ended up getting my starting position back, and the rest is history. If you guys ever have any questions that you want to ask me and I can bring it up on this podcast, you can go to IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com. We have this in the trenches. I also have Flavor in Your Ear. That's also on Radio Influence as well. So if you guys have any questions for me for either one of the podcasts, you can go to that. IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com. So football's right around the corner. The Hall of Fame game is coming up. And it's football, okay? I don't care if it's – I watch CFL football, okay? Just because it's football, it doesn't matter who's playing, I'm watching. We got Thursday to get the Cards against the Cowboys, which, I mean, the first preseason game, it's almost unwatchable. Not quite unwatchable, but it's pretty close because, you know, having been involved in a lot of first preseason games, there's only one big, you know, announcement in that first game, in the first game for a starter. How many series are we going? And we always talking, as starters, I wonder how many series we're going to go. And usually the coaches come up and they go, the first team has one series if it's good. So we're out there, we're trying to bust ass, and we're trying to score a touchdown on the first series so we can take the damn tape off our hands and relax and watch the rest of the game and let the quote-unquote lesser players fight out the rest for the rest. You're a starter. If you're a starter in preseason, there's only one way to go, and that's down. So you want to get out of that game playing well as quick as possible. Now, one time Coach Sam Weich pulled an okey-doke on us where we came out in the first quarter. I think we played okay. Guys were grab-assing in the second half. And he says, I want the ones back in. And I looked at him, I go, he's got to be joking, right? I mean, I had the tape off my hands. I think I took the tape off my ankles. And he says, we want the ones back in. And we had to literally go to our trainer, Chris Smith, at the time. And I go, Chris, this is not a good idea. Because what you don't want to do is play for two series, come out and rest for an hour, and then go back in a football game. It's a bad idea. I mean, that's a hamstring or something waiting to go. So long story short, we didn't end up going back in the game, which was nice. But that's some kind of that's some crazy stuff that Sam Weich would try to get accomplished from way back in the day. So every year there's a bunch of inductees to the Hall of Fame, and I always say this. Anybody whose name comes up for the Hall of Fame deserves to go. Everybody. Rondé Barber's name's going to come up. John Lynch's name's going to come up. Warren Sapp's already in. I was very blessed to be there when Warren was inducted in Canton. Hung out. Had a great time. It was just an experience that you got to do once if you're a football fan. The Hall of Fame is wonderful. Just if you have kids, it's a great play. If they like football, something they'll have a ball guaranteed. Got a chance to party with a lot of interesting people after the Hall of Fame induction. You know, Warren had an individual party, invite only, and you look around and it was nothing but people in their yellow jackets walking around. So, I mean, I'm running into some unbelievable names. So it's something that I got a chance to experience. And I always say that, you know, anybody whose name comes up deserves to go, but unfortunately they can't all go. They can't, okay? It doesn't mean you weren't a great football player. This year we got Morton Anderson, great kicker for a long time. And then we have a couple names that I didn't know were going to get in. Kurt Warner being one. He didn't have the biggest body of work, okay? But Kurt Warner did some unbelievable things statistically in a little time that he played in the NFL. won a Super Bowl, been to another, was slinging it way back then. Now, this name I thought almost for sure wasn't going to get in and got in is Terrell Davis. I think Terrell Davis played 6-7 years. That's usually not enough for a running back. Now, he did some crazy things in a little time, won 2 Super Bowls. Once again, great football player. I just didn't know if his body of work was going to be good enough to get in. Kenny Easley is a name. Seahawks safety that was wonderful back in the day. Jerry Jones is in. I never understood why they put owners in with football players. What does an owner do? What does an owner do other than bringing lots of money to something? What has he done? I mean, God bless him as a business owner and a businessman, but he didn't put on a helmet. On Sunday, he's up there in the box with other billionaires, schmoozing. I don't think owners deserve to go in the Hall of Fame. Jason Taylor, a guy who had a wonderful career. Saw Jason Taylor come out as a rookie, kind of a slight football player. He just wasn't a real big guy and can just play football, period. So Jason Taylor absolutely deserves to get in. And LaDainian Tomlinson, a running back who I was going to say is underrated, but I don't know if that's the case. I mean, he was fantastic for a long, long time. And once again, they all deserve to get in. I mentioned a couple other names. John Lynch, we all remember John Lynch here with the Buccaneers. We all love John Lynch to death. Not sure he's going to get in. Not positive John Lynch is going to get in. And, you know, down the way, Rondé Barber's name's going to come up. I'm going to say this again, and it might not be popular. He ain't getting in. He's not getting in, and this is why. Listen, we know Rondé Barber to have had an unbelievable career here as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. You can't slight. I mean, he was an amazing football player. Within the system, that's a word now. System is a word. To me, if you're a Hall of Famer, that means you would have been great on any team. Not quite sure that's Rondé Barber. Rondé Barber was part of a defense that had a fantastic pass rush his whole time he was here. This defense played predominantly cover 2, which is zone. Find me a zone cornerback in the Hall of Fame. There are none. Here's another one. Rondé Barber always played with a defensive back that was a better cover corner than him. Go back and look. Whether it was Brian Kelly, okay, Aqib Talib. There's a bunch of names that were there while Rondé Barber was there. So Rondé Barber wasn't always on the best receiver on the other team. Now, these are all things that are going to come up, okay? And it's not discrediting what he did. He was a great football player. But we're talking about the Hall of Fame. And there's another one. Everybody, this is Rondé Barber's thing. You know, Rondé Barber had more sacks than any other defensive back. Well, this is the problem. In a room of Hall of Fame defensive backs, Deion Sanders is going to look to Darryl Green and say, Darryl, how many sacks you got? Darryl Green's going to probably say 1. He's going to say, how many sacks you have, Deion? Deion's going to say, I have none. So sacks and defensive backs don't get you in the Hall of Fame. You get in the Hall of Fame a defensive back because you are an unbelievable cover corner. So, once again, Rondé Barber, a great system corner. Don't know if he's going to get into the Hall of Fame. Rondé Barber was a free agent. You guys don't remember that. He was a free agent, and nobody came a-calling. The Bucs retained him. He had some more good years. But that Hall of Fame is tough sledding. And the people voting for him, that's the best ever. And it's tough to get in, no doubt. Looking around the NFL, Aaron Donald, get your money, Aaron. Because when I put the film on, Aaron Donald's there every time. Every time I watch the Rams play, he's there. He shows up every game wrecking shop. And that's what I like from a football player. Not a football player that's going to show up every once in a while. No way. There's other people in this league that are tripping me out a little bit because I saw Drew Brees. Drew Brees, who looks younger than he did when he got into the league, even with that funny patch on his face, he looks younger than he did. He looks better than he did when he first got in the league. I think he's in his 16th year or whatever. Tom Brady's still out there, and he's almost 40 years old. And there's another name that trips me out a little bit. James Harrison, okay? James Harrison, I think is in his 16th year. James Harrison, when I watched the Steelers play, he is omnipresent as well. He's always making plays and always making big plays. And this is what I love about James Harrison. Everything. I love everything about James Harrison. I like mean son of bitches, okay? And James Harrison just looks like you don't want to really say anything negative towards him. Or he'll punch you square in your mouth and put you to sleep. I like a few of those guys sprinkled on my defense. And I was watching training camp with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Mike Tomlin is not even allowing James Harrison to practice. No. You sit your ass on the side and you watch, and when football season comes on Sunday, turn it loose, and you do what you do. So I love James Harrison as a football player. I don't think you could have enough James Harrisons. I don't. I mean, there's not many of them out there. And funny story is, from what I heard, James Harrison got cut with the Steelers, came back, and then ended up being defensive MVP. Now, you ever look at James Harrison? Does he look like he's not taking anything? And if he's not taking anything, that'd be the most genetically gifted human being I've ever seen, because that is a thick son of a bitch. He's about 6 foot. He looks like he's about 275 of rock hard, bad intention type muscle. So I'm not going to say he's on something, but he's on something. No, he's just too mean and nasty to be that old. No doubt. Now, Hard Knocks is, I saw Hard Knocks the other day. You know, as a fan, they're not really influencing me a whole lot. I mean, I'm sitting there, I see the cameras here and there. As a football player on the field, you're never going to look. I would hope that the players are never looking to see when the cameras are there, because that's going to change you as a football player, because you should be, you know, concentrating on what's on the task at hand, which is just to get become a better football player. I don't know if that's going to be the case, because I know for a fact that when Hard Knocks comes out, there's going to be some choreographed stuff that's going to make me throw up in my mouth. I know it. And I want to make the prediction right now. It's going to be Gerald McCoy. I'm just going to make that prediction. Like, I watched Hard Knocks with the Houston, with the Texans, and they did a whole lot on J.J. Watt, but it's J.J. freaking Watt, okay? And I believe it wasn't out of character. That's just the way J.J. Watt is. Gerald McCoy loves the camera. I'm scared. I'm scared how it's going to turn out. I just think Jameis is going to be himself. I don't think Jameis is going to change for anybody. I hope not, anyways. And, you know, Jameis has to understand that this year, if he comes out and do what he's able to do and brings his team to the playoffs, you know, the sky's the limit with what he can accomplish. And I'm talking about on the field, off the field, endorsements. Time for Jameis to make his money. And it's right around the corner. So, you know, I'm not big on watching a lot of football shows. Hard Knocks is not really even a show. It's almost like a documentary. I love watching Hard Knocks because it's real. I wouldn't want the cameras around if I was playing. But, you know, I'm watching other people's team. Now I'm going to get a chance to watch my team. And will I learn anything? Possibly. Possibly. But I sure enough, I'm going to be watching it. Now, the only show I do watch football-wise is Ballers. Ballers is wonderful. I love Ballers, and this is why. It ain't got nothing to do with football. Nothing. I've watched the first couple episodes of Ballers with the great Rock Johnson, and they never talk about football. Everything is women, gambling, really, really sweet cars, a little bit more women. They dabbled in medical marijuana a little bit, which they're calling cannabis, which is the same damn thing. They got a couple of players that are endorsing cannabis. And you know what? They're really just plucking from some of the stories that are going on in the NFL. I think it was Ezekiel Elliott that got caught in a dispensary. He's a football player, man. He's in a dispensary. It's legal in that state. Let the man go around and look at some, you know, some herb. Herb never hurt nobody. I remember playmakers back in the day, the NFL looked at it and said, we're not playing this anymore. But that was on ESPN, and we know that the NFL pretty much, you know, they're steering everything at ESPN. They can't mess with HBO. So HBO's coming out with Ballers, and I don't think they're depicting football players in any crazy light. I think the NFL does that by themselves. You know, if you look at the news every week with the NFL, you know, there's craziness happening all over the place. And one of the craziest things, you know, when you talk about, you know, the way athletes are treated, Colin Kaepernick, he pretty much established that not standing for the national anthem is worse than abusing women. He established that. I hope we're seeing that, because Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job right now. There's second and third string quarterbacks that 100% cannot hold his jock, okay? He just didn't stand for the anthem. Like, that's the worst thing in the whole United States to do. You know what Colin Kaepernick's touchdown to interception ratio is? 72 to 30. Mike Glennon got paid. If you have one game to play and you got a chance to take Mike Glennon or Colin Kaepernick, how many people are going to take Mike Glennon? If you take Mike Glennon, here we go, you're wrong. Because he doesn't do anything well. Colin Kaepernick throws a nice long ball. Colin Kaepernick's athletic. Colin Kaepernick has won some big games. Mike Glennon ain't won squadooch, nothing. And he's not going to win this year. I don't care. I'm telling you, I'm putting money on the under of the Chicago Bears. I don't know if it's going to be that damn high. But it's going to be 4 weeks into the season where Chicago Bears fans are going to go, that's enough. I'm tired of watching this boring crap. Listen, I watched Mike Glennon, a quarterback here, and we were losing, and it was boring. There's nothing worse than losing and not taking chances. When Jameis loses, and he does, he takes chances. And that's what I love about Jameis. And Jameis will throw an interception, and he'll come off to the sideline, and I know it's okay. I know it's all right. Because that's part of it. He knows he's going to throw an interception here and there. Mike Glennon's doing what he can to not throw an interception and not put the team out there and not win games. So to me, that's boring. And the only way you're going to win with Mike Glennon is if you have a fabulous team around him. I know very well that the Chicago Bears don't have that. So we're just hoping that the Buccaneers have, you know, the pieces around Jameis Winston. DeSean Jackson, I think, is the queen. If you play chess, you don't want your queen captured. Your king obviously loses it, but your queen's strong. If DeSean Jackson stays healthy to me, and he's a football player, he's been in the past. I'm not sure anybody can stop this team from making it to the playoffs. But once again, that has a lot to do with leadership, Dirk Cutter, everybody doing the right things, and the leader stepping up and doing what they can do. Regardless, like I said, I haven't seen buzz like this with the Buccaneers in a long time, and I'm interested. I can't wait till football season starts. And as usual, I'll be watching every single play. And that's the difference between hockey and football and baseball and soccer and every other sport. You can't miss one play in the National Football League when your team is playing. That's why the NFL is America's sport and will always be. It won't be baseball, because you could miss 18 straight games on your baseball team and you ain't missed jack, nothing. When your NFL team is playing, everybody's congregated around the couch with some beverages and some food, and you want to know what happened on every single play. And if you miss a play, you got to rewind it, because we're DVRing it, because we're going to watch it again the next day. Sometimes I watch the Buccaneers game three times, and I'm thinking to myself, you're sick. But that's okay, because it's football. Now, if you guys have any questions, you could always go to IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com. If you have any football questions, you could also check me out on social media at Ian Beckles, IanBeckles. I'm very active on social media. I'd love to have you follow me. We do a lot of fun things, like go to football camp and do different things. So love you to follow me on social media. Appreciate you guys listening in. Next week will be Monday again. And I tend to be dropping in and out of the Bucks football camp, so I'll see some things that maybe you haven't seen. And, you know, I used to talk every day about football on the air. Now I'm talking about it once a week. So I definitely have things to talk about when the week is over. Appreciate you guys listening in. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
Follow Ian Beckles on Twitter at Ian Beckles for all the latest on your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
This is the Crush Report with Jeff Crushell. In sport, we know that some athletes develop quickly, others take time, and it's important to find that balance between winning and development. We spoke with Kelly Hodgson of the Scottish United Soccer Club about their player development first approach.
When we get to outdoors, that's when the opportunities for provincials and maybe a national championship comes along. And so I'm a full believer that you don't just develop your starting 11 players, that you need a full squad. And we were lucky enough to make it to the national championship last year. We had a very deep roster. We had good development. We joke about it often. We went through last indoor season with only one loss and had a great season and stuff. But just the season before, we started the season at 1-7. And, a lot of questions being asked at that point. Hey, we're not the right team. And we're focusing. You know, why is that girl going on the field when we're down by one goal? We should be putting our stars on the field. But we stick true to the development process. And like I say, when it mattered most, the following outdoor season, we're able to have a very successful outdoor season. And I really attribute to the fact that we had good development of athletes on the bench. We had good development of a team. Really, our success came from a team success, not by any one individual.
Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kershaw, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.